Soccer Show on World Football Day.
Welcome to a new episode of the Mexican Soccer Show. Nayib Moran speaks to you today, Tuesday, nearing the big September World Cup qualifiers with the news of Víctor Manuel Bucetich and of a successful tenure with Rayados. America is the leader of the Liga Bancomer MX, with only 5 games played out of the 7 match dates completed. All of this to talk about today with Johnny Rico in San Diego. Johnny, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Currently, actually, I'm in Tijuana, but, you know, close enough.
And I also have with me Tom Marsh in Guadalajara. Tom, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Yeah, a lot of stuff going on this week, and obviously with the transfer window coming short, and the qualifiers coming up, so a lot of work on.
A lot of work coming up, for sure. The big topic right now in Mexico came out around Friday when, the decision came out that, you know, Guay Ochoa wasn't on the list of European call-ups. The reasons that Chepo told to Medio Tiempo were that Ochoa didn't want her to come because he's not the starter and he didn't want to create a bad vibe in the team because the starter is José de Jesús Corona. Guys, what do you think about this decision that Ochoa took, one that was not contemplated because he was acting professional coming, and still, you know, even though the trip is so long, he came to the Cubs even though he was benched. What is your appreciation of the whole sense? Johnny, you published an article on it on Soccerly. Your thoughts about this?
Yeah, I actually think it's about time Ochoa did this decision. I would have expected this decision maybe a few months ago. But actually, if I were in Ochoa's feet, I would have hold off because there's always the possibility that Jesús Corona does not play due to the doping and clenbuterol issues. So, I would have liked to see Ochoa kind of hold off on this decision. I think it's a decision that needed to be done because, you know, Ochoa is a high-quality goalkeeper, and why is he going to travel 32 hours both ways to just sit on a bench? And, you know, that's very draining on a player. And, you know, if he's not going to be used, he's got more important things to worry about.
Tom, and the whole deal, I mean, with Ochoa, the past, specifically looking at the 2010 World Cup, you know, he played the World Cup qualifiers, and the World Cup came, and he was benched for Conejo Perez and that Javier Aguirre's tenure. You know, there's been not the best of luck for Ochoa coming with the national team.
No, I mean, I think, you know, obviously the last World Cup, it was difficult to understand why Aguirre, you know, what didn't play Ochoa. It seemed like that was his moment. And I think, you know, if that World Cup would have gone different, then, you know, it would have been a completely different situation now. I think we should point out that, you know, Corona's been playing really, really well. You know, and it's up to, at the end of the day, whatever we think or whoever thinks, you know, it's up to Chepo to make that decision. And you know, he's gone with Corona. The only thing, you know, the one thing that makes me, I don't know, just a bit reluctant to, you know, have a shout off about one thing or the other is, you know, we've not heard from Ochoa yet, you know what I mean? And I think it's going to be interesting to see what he says about it. You know, I mean, it's a massive decision for him. I mean, some people say, no, you know, he's only the reserve keeper. It doesn't matter that too much. I think it indicates that something's not really isn't right within the camp. That Ochoa doesn't want to go and fight for his place in the national team. There's a World Cup at stake in, you know, a matter of months now. And for a player to not come to the national team, if that is the case, you know, if Chepo, what he said, you know, that he doesn't want to come if he's going to be on the bench is correct, then, you know, it's a massive thing. But there is a rumour doing the rounds as well that Ochoa said that he didn't want to be considered for friendlies unless he was going to be playing. And that Chepo has come out and said that it's for any game. I don't know, you know, I don't know how much truth there is to that, but, you know, it's definitely something that I've heard in over the last few days.
Guys, what do you think about the leadership of Chepo de la Torre here? Because if we look back, there was a time that Ochoa was the starter. I think it was against the Honduras game and the U.S. game, if I'm not mistaken, World Cup qualifiers. Ochoa was captain in those matches, and Corona was not playing. You know, what does it say about Chepo's leadership as a coach when he comes out to the press and says that, you know, he can't control the personalities of these two players, and because one wants to start and the other also wants to start, it can create this sort of bad vibe on the team.
You know, Chepo's leadership skills, I've always put in question. I mean, you know, ever we go back to all the way to Confederations Cup and even before to the beginning of the year, I've been saying how the number one reason Chepo needed to leave the national team is because of a lack of leadership, lack of, you know, I guess he calls in players that he feels are just going to obey him blindly, like Talavera. And when there's other players more deserving of the spot, even for the number three goalkeepers, Jonathan Orozco has been out there. Now Moises Munoz has been playing really well, and we see Talavera constantly being called up. So it's a very, you know, Chepo's way of managing this team is completely wrong. He has zero leadership, and it shows on the field how there's zero leadership on the field. He's very indecisive about his goalkeepers. He seems to be leaning towards Corona, and he doesn't know how to deal with a big time goalkeeper like his Ochoa and have him on the bench, which to me is incorrect to have Ochoa on the bench.
I think the situation with Ochoa is an interesting one because he's coming from a spectacular game against PSG. You know, and then I think this week he also had he influenced a lot in the tie that Ajaccio got with the team. I mean, it's that whole idea. I mean, it's not like Ochoa's playing in France and he's bench. He's actually starting and being on the top of the newspapers week in and week out. But then we see the Corona situation. I mean, Corona, when he played on the Olympics, he was a captain of that team. And he did pretty well. I mean, it's that the complication. Is there, like, what I've seen, I think, you know, Tom, the whole thing that's complicating right now is the fact that Ochoa's playing in Europe. And I mean, is that just because a Mexico player plays in Europe, does that automatically give him the starting spot?
No, I mean, definitely not. I mean, you know, that's not taking anything away from Ochoa either. I mean, is it, you know, just as a quick aside, it's like, you know, I think there was every chance that Chepo might have started with Ochoa in these World Cup qualifiers, considering his form. I mean, it has been unbelievable. There's absolutely no doubt about that. But, you know, and obviously when players go over and play in Europe, it's different and they learn from that and they grow. But at the same time, I mean, I don't think we should, you know, underestimate, you know, Mexican football. You know, Corona, for example, playing in that final last season, you know, in front of a full Azteca, you know, those kind of games. You know, Ajaccio's not exactly a big club. You know, if you play for America, you're playing in front, on average, more people than you would in for Ajaccio. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying, I'm just saying we should...
Well, Ochoa has been there at America. He's done that. He's won the championship with America. All of Jesus Corona's biggest accomplishments, they've come at age limit competitions where he was one of the overage players. All Corona has ever done in his career is Pan American Games and Olympic Games. You know, Corona has always kind of never accomplished anything, any club accomplishments, you know, whatever his club is.
Yeah, but I mean,
Cruz Azul's biggest, you know, goal every season is to win the championship, and Corona has been able to do that. Ochoa, whether it's the big club like America where the goal is the championship, he's done that, or whether it's a small club like Ajaccio where it's to avoid relegation, he also does that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Ochoa. I'm just saying that, you know, Corona's been consistent over the last, like, you know, 10 years in the Mexican League, from Atlas, Tecos, to Cruz Azul. You know, so I think, you know, I'm just saying we can't take away the fact that Corona is playing week in, week out at a very high level. But I don't really, you know, who's better and all that. It's like, you know, I mean, that's Chepo's decision. And I think that for me, the more interesting thing is the fact that now, you know, I think you can say two of Mexico's four most high-profile players on a world level now don't want to go to the national team. if what Chepo says is right. And I think that, you know, that's obviously extremely negative. And, you know, I'm sure even from a kind of sponsorship point of view, I mean, sponsors of the Mexican national team, so vital for such a rich federation. You know, I'm sure they're not going to be happy that, you know, Ochoa's not in the squad and you know, Vela's still refusing to come. And especially that, you know, both these, for big games, I mean, these two games coming up in September are massive. I mean, for two of the four most prominent players not to want to come is a little bit of a disaster.
I mean, it says a lot about it. You know, it's one of those situations that, you know, you would think that at this point, Mexico, I mean, because when Chepo says those words and says, you know, I'm going to call up the best players that are available, I'm going to put them up to play, you know, you see, and the fact that Carlos Vela's not there and Guillermo Ochoa are not there for these important two games, it says that, you know, the situation is not so pleasant in the Mexican national team. I think that with the Ivory Coast win, it sort of settled a little bit, but now, you know, with this decision that Ochoa made, no, because you never know, how you said, Tom, Corona can get injured, you know, in one of these matches, and you want the second best, that was Ochoa, to be available. But he made his decision. It's respectable, I think. I mean, he will keep on doing this heroics with Ajaccio, and I'm pretty sure after this year, after completing his contract with Ajaccio, he will have the, I think, will be able to go to another club and have that sort of residence permit that will allow them to be in any big club in Europe, and will keep leaving the name of Mexico high up. The same with Vela and playing the Champions League. I mean, he's doing phenomenal, but unfortunately, he's not playing with the national team, which is ironic for a team that, you know, you see those players and football in Mexico is the most important sport.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just a difficult one with Ochoa and what to. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily respectable if we take it all at face value. You know what I mean? You know, I think it comes across as arrogant for him to say he doesn't want to come to the national team because he's not going to be number one. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I read a lot that word diva.
Yeah, I mean, but you have to. What I think, and I mean, I think it's something we don't know, and it's, you know, not going to be possible to prove until Ochoa comes out. And it's the same for Vela. I'm pretty sure there's got to be something else underneath it. You know what I mean? I don't think a player would refuse a call up to the national team just because he's number two, knowing that you only one little injury, or like Johnny was talking about the drugs case with Corona, you're very, very close to starting for a World Cup for your national team. You know what I mean? It's just so massive. And I just think there must be something more to it.
Johnny? Here's my problem with the word diva. I think it's very influenced by the situation that Carlos Vela is going through, which I think is completely different. Because if Carlos Vela were to get called up, there's not a doubt in anyone's mind that Carlos Vela would be on the pitch, you know, starting lineup, starting 11, due to his quality and his form that Carlos Vela has shown. So Carlos Vela is declining the call-ups on completely different reasons why supposedly Ochoa is declining. Ochoa is declining because he gets it's a wasted trip for him, you know. It's wasted miles that he has to go through. You know, it's not worth it at this point in his career. National team manager stubbornness, you know, Javier Aguirre was very stubborn in choosing Conejo Perez over Ochoa, and now Chepo de la Torre is being very stubborn in choosing Corona over Ochoa. So that, you know, at some point enough is enough, and Ochoa has to say, you know what, I'm done. If the stubbornness of the manager is not going to allow me to play, whether I'm playing at a high level in Europe, then that's it. So that, you know, I think the Carlos Vela situation completely different, and that has influenced what people are saying and thinking of the Ochoa situation now.
Yeah, well, but it's, you know, Chepo's got to make a decision, you know what I mean? Whether people agree with it or not, he has to make a decision between his goalkeepers. And, you know, they're both at a very high level. It's not an easy decision. And that's why I think that for Ochoa to reject the call, I think it's more than that. I think it's more than, oh, I can't be bothered because I'm going to be number two again and I'm sick of it, you know what I mean? I think that why didn't he go and fight for his place? You know what I mean? He's in excellent form. There's no reason to think that he may be number one when it came down to these qualifiers coming up. I mean, certainly for me, I've really liked Corona, and especially his, you know, from the Olympics, building from that, his consistency at club form, and his performances for the national team have been good. But I mean, watching, you know, Ochoa the last couple of weeks, I mean, you can't ignore that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think for me, maybe I'd, if I was Chepo now, from someone who would have picked Corona before, now I'd be seriously considering, you know, putting Ochoa in, even though, you know, he hasn't played too much with you know, recently for the national team. So I don't know. I honestly think that there must be something more for Corona to make such a big decision. I mean, imagine he's at Ajaccio, you know, the next summer, and the World Cup comes along, and he gets his way into the national team, a great performance, and you know, it's just a platform for him to move up. You know, I just don't think a player like Ochoa, with his ambition, would reject a call unless there was something, you know, seriously wrong. And I think there is. I think there's players aren't happy at all with what's going on within the national team at the moment.
Well, even when Ochoa lost the starting spot in the first time around, you know, why did he lose the starting spot? It was because the federation gave him tainted meat to eat, and you know, he had to pay the consequences and leave a tournament and lose his, you know, his starting spot, lose the possible contract at PSG. And so, you know, that plus what I just mentioned before about the stuff, it all kind of builds up. The federation has always done it wrong.
Ochoa. I mean, there's a lot of stuff with the goalkeepers also right now. I don't know. For example, in Spain, with the situation in Real Madrid with Diego López and Casillas, and Ancelotti has opted for two games to pick López. I mean, there's a lot of debates going on, not just with the national team, but with other big clubs like Real Madrid. Moving on, this Sunday around 4 p.m., Rayados called for a meeting, a special press conference to say an important news. And that important news was to confirm the end of Víctor Manuel Bucetich as head coach of Rayados. Bucetich gave that team 5 titles, 3 titles in the CONCACAF Champions League and 2 titles in the Mexican League. And a couple of days, just yesterday, Monday, they announced Profe Cruz as their new coach. So new times for Rayados of Monterrey. Monterrey finishes a 5-year project with Bucetich. And now we don't know what's going to happen with that team. A team that we thought had a legit project that was looking beyond and breaking, you know, the barriers in the Mexican League of always, you know, counting with a coach for like a year and then firing him and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Bucetich was going for a lot of years.
Yeah, I mean, now the coach with the coach who's been at a club longest in the Liga MX is Tuca Ferretti with 3 years. I mean, that's the most out of the 18 teams. So, I mean, it tells you a little bit of something about how, well, you know, the short-termism that's going on. And, you know, one thing I found interesting, just having a think about it before, is that, you know, you look at how many Mexican coaches, I mean, forget players and how few players there are, but look at how many Mexican coaches there are in Europe. You know, and I'm sure money's got something to do with it, but you look at the, you know, the South American coaches at the minute, Martino, Pellegrini, Simeone, you know, Bielsa, all in either massive clubs or highly in demand. And Mexico have got Aguirre, Espanol. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. And I think this firing of the coaches every, like, year or something must have something to do with it. I mean, it's just real short-termism. I mean, I don't know. I mean,
you know, I actually don't think it's that bad of a move by Monterrey. I think Bucetich, you know, had peaked already at Monterrey, and you know, the way the team plays on the field week in and week out this season is showing that kind of there's nowhere to go but down for Bucetich Monterrey. And I really like the new manager that they appointed, Jose Guadalupe El Profe Cruz. has always been one of the most underrated managers, in my opinion, in the Mexican League. A manager that can take Atlanta and make them champions in the league and in the CONCACAF Champions League, you know, that says a lot. It's, you know, who is Atlante? And, I mean, he from there went on to Jaguares and constantly had them in the playoffs. You know, this is Jaguares de Chiapas, constantly in playoffs, you know. It's a very small club, and, you know, Jose Guadalupe Profe Cruz was able to do that. So now it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, a manager with his talent, his vision at a club the way it's, you know, big-time players and big-time checkbook. And that does give managers a five-year term. But, you know, I see Monterrey better than they were.
I mean, I think in that though comes the risk. You know what I mean? He's never been involved in a big club. You know what I mean? He's not had that pressure. He's always been on the outside with a small club trying to compete. I mean, if you look at Vucetic, out of 242 official games at Monterrey, he lost 62. You know, you look at the experience he's got, you know, three CONCACAF Champions League titles, the, obviously two league titles, but also the two Club World Cups, you know, going for the third this December. And I just think it's a real rash decision to get rid of somebody who, you know, was offered the Mexico job. You know, at a time when I think Monterrey, what they need more than anything is he's not taking a risk with a, you know, with a younger manager. And I know Profe Cruz is, you know, he's a good manager and he's got a lot of, you know, respect within Mexico, definitely. But I mean, you look at Monterrey at the minute with the Club World Cup coming up, with Barbón and Corona now gone, and with the next year they've got the new stadium. I mean, 55,000 people. It's a massive time for the club, and I don't know. I think it might be a bit of risk. I mean, I always think of with Chivas and Guero Real. I mean, I know a lot of people aren't massive fans of him, but you look at his numbers as well. You know, he only lost 19 of 73 games in charge. You know, he had Vergara coming over saying the Mexican Ferguson, and then a couple of months later he's fired because they don't win in five. And then ever since that day, Chivas have just been horrible. I mean, since then, you look at the stats and it's been relegation form. And I hope that, you know, the same doesn't happen to Monterrey. You know, going with what they don't know, you know what I mean? I think what Mexico needs in general in terms of directors is you know, more longevity in terms of giving a manager a chance to really establish you know, a legacy. And I think that's what Vucetic had. He had the chance to go for not just 4 years, but, you know, 7-8 years and establish something really, really solid at the club, you know, and ride through those little dips. I mean, it's not been the best start of the season in terms of Pavon's gone, then you had the Corona saga. So I think he's been, you know, the team's been affected by that. At the end of the day, the 3 points off the playoffs with plenty, you know, and I believe there's, you know, still 13 international players at the club. I mean, I think you've got to give Vucetic more time in that situation.
I mean, right now, I think Monterrey has gotten 6 points out of the 21 points possible. And it is tough for Vucetic. I think when they brought in the Colombian Pavon, I mean, he was the star signing. You know, you would have thought that Pavon was going to stay the whole season. And to learn more about Vucetic coaching techniques, and Vucetic is going to learn about what type of player Pavon was. Chelito Delgado is injured. You got Corona, who was Monterrey's gem, but wasn't getting paid adequately. And even Vucetic said it before, you know, the U-20 World Cup, that Corona deserved a better contract so he could stay and grow more as a footballer. You know, we commend Corona going to Holland, but Vucetic was one of the first people to say that he was a player that still needed time in Mexico. But the directors, Luis Miguel Salvador, saw it appropriate to sell Corona to Twente. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw this game against León, but I mean, there was some stuff going on with the players and Vucetic's decision. Vucetic wasn't even on the bench, he was on the stands. And I think there was a move, you know, the Monterrey scored first, and then the game was tied 1-1. And then I think Bucetich did a substitution, put in Mier for Neri Cardoso. You know, a bit of a defensive move to protect the tie. And minutes later, Omar Arellano gets a red card. So, I mean, there was a little bit the groove that Monterrey once had between player and coach was a bit, it looked a bit deteriorated in the last match that was coached by Bucetich. But yeah. I do agree, Tom. I think coaches in Mexico deserve more time. I mean, 5 years was a lot, I think.
Sometimes, you know, I think Monterrey, and I know fans are like, you know, they were really not happy with Vucicic at the end, you know what I mean? But it's like sometimes you get spoiled, you know what I mean? It's like they've had so much success under him. I mean, he's the most successful manager ever in Monterrey history. I mean, you know what I mean? I think you get spoiled sometimes, and then things go on a bit of a dip, and the reaction is always, all right, let's get somebody else in. And, you know, I think the fact that Vucicic now is going to be the very top of the list for any job that comes up within Mexico. I mean,
yeah. I think, a lot of people after the news that broke out Sunday were like, why didn't Vergara fire good old the coach before? So Vucicic would be the coach.
It would be good for Chivas. I think Profi Cruz would have been good for Chivas as well. Because then I think in a lot of ways, they are a smaller team. Like Johnny was saying with that Atlante and Jaguares, in a lot of ways now it is about that kind of, you know, getting a real mentality going and, you know, us against the world type thing. But I don't know.
Hey, Tom, and we were talking right now about Juan Carlos Ortega. We're talking about Chivas, basically. But there's this formation change that's going on with Chivas. That you brought up in one of your articles for ESPN FC. What changes do you see in Chivas now with Juan Carlos Ortega?
Well, yeah, I mean the most obvious one's the, you know, three central defenders, which didn't work at all on Friday night against Querétaro because, you know, Querétaro just looked dangerous every time they went forward. All three centre backs went to get header. And none of them got it for Carretero's first goal. For the second goal, they were just sliced through so easily. It was just embarrassing. I mean, I don't know. The thing that I think is, you know, Chivas is almost like a national team where, you know, you're supposed to get the teams from an early age playing in a certain way. And that's what Chivas have done over the last, 7-8 years. And that's included four at the back. So now just to change the first team just overnight with Juan Carlos Ortega is, I don't know, for me it's just surprising. And I mean, Vergara and Dennis De Colossi must have known that he was going to play five at the back. I mean, I can't believe that he wouldn't, but I think it's going to take some time to get used to, and I really don't know if Chivas have got the players. I mean, it's not just the three centre-backs, but I don't know if they've got a right wing-back at the minute. I don't know if they've got two wingers. I mean, they've just got about four number nines, but no.
I mean, in this interesting situation, because I've seen Esparza sometimes play as left back, sometimes as right back. I mean, if we go back to 2005 when Mexico won the U-17 World Cup, I mean, Esparza was a right back, and he even scored that nice goal against Brazil. And then we got Ponce, who plays left back, but he likes playing more on the offensive side. So there's a little bit of understanding what the player wants. And I think that's where the coach gets a little bit confused as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is, it's like, it's one of these projects for me that I think, you know, if you're going to change something like that, you need to give a coach, like, a good couple of seasons. And, you know, the history of Chivas, Vergara's fired 18 since 2002. I mean, it tells you that, you know, Chivas don't give coaches time. And I think that, I don't know, I just can't see him lasting too long at the helmet.
And right now, actually, that you brought Güero Real a while ago, man. Right now, he's doing excellent with Chivas USA, and Eric Torres, El Cubo Torres, is actually scoring goals.
Yeah, I mean, I think I might write a story about that. is Güero Real at the wrong Chivas? I mean, like I said, I just think, just looking at the purely stats, I know that when Güero Real was in charge of Chivas, it wasn't the most attractive football at times. But I mean, I think most Chivas would be happy with the team not losing every week. Really, I mean, that's the case at the minute. I mean, on Friday against Querétaro, they looked absolutely all over the place. I mean, they really did look a mess. like they have for the last few weeks under Galindo and then Ortega. But it's a difficult one. Chivas is a difficult one.
Real Sociedad, gol de Carlos Vela.
Independientes Tecate es una marca de cerveza. De cerveza en México. Era patrocinado por mi equipo anterior. Como mi apellido es Corona, pues ahora por eso me lo pusieron así, como era la contraria.
A while ago we touched upon Jesús Corona's move to FC Twente. In that small break, you could hear Jesus explaining the significance of his nickname Tecatito to the Dutch press, an important step in the career of this young talent, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's, I think it's a good move. Really do. I think it's a nice little stepping stone, you know, to hopefully a bigger team. I think it legitimately, I mean, if this sounds a bit wild, but I honestly think he's an outsider for a World Cup place. And the reason I say that is I don't think, you know, I think he's, I think he is a special talent, but the trickery that he's got, the pace he has, the fact that he can do something special, I don't think Mexico have got too many players like that. And even on the bench, I think just as like a kind of impact substitute, he'd be pretty good. But obviously he's got to prove himself in Europe. I mean, I don't know about you, Naib, but I mean, I like the fact that Twente have paid $5 million. Dollars for him.
It is clearly the team believes in him. I mean, they've been following him since the U-20 World Cup, and let's remember the audience. I mean, it wasn't the best U-20 World Cup that a player can give, like Corona. I think Corona had his ups and downs during the tournament. That game against Spain, that was a tough loss, 2-1 against the U-20 team of Spain. You know, it showed that Mexico could have beat the team. I mean, but it was a round of 16 match due because the Mexican national team was unable to get positive results in the group stage. I mean, they just barely made it to the knockout rounds.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think that the fact that a team like Twente, not the richest team in the world, you know, have paid that money for him, I think is, you know, real positive that they're taking it very seriously. Not like when, you know, Edson Rivera went to
Braga.
Braga, yeah. From Atlas on a free, you know what I mean? I think the fact Corona's gone there. I think in the under-20 World Cup, he was out of position. I don't think he should play as a number 10. I think he should definitely be on the wing. So, you know, and yeah, I think it's really positive. And I'm really genuinely excited to see how it goes for him. And hopefully he can get playing. But Naib, what about Herrera and Diego Reyes over there at Porto? I don't think it's been the best start for them in terms of getting
minutes. I think it's pretty straightforward what we've seen in the last 2 weeks. Herrera and Reyes getting minutes with Porto B, and it is due because Porto has a big squad full of talented players. I mean, I think in the position that Reyes plays, there are three players in front of him with a lot of experience playing in Europe and so forth. And then one of the names that comes to mind is Mangala, the Frenchman. Reyes will learn definitely a lot from that defender. And Herrera has it tough in the midfield. I think, you know, there's Fernando, there's Lucho González. There's also this Colombian star that's Quintero. You know, so the minutes for these two players will not be abundant, I think, as a lot of people would have thought. And it's part of the learning experience. I mean, as we see right now, Porto has a set of players that they already sold to big clubs. Like, you know, Monaco is not a big club, but they have they're a big club because they have a lot of money. And they sent James Rodriguez and, if I'm not mistaken, Moutinho off over there. So, I mean, that's still the process. I think right now they'll start on the bench and then Porto will sell off other players that will give them the money. And that's when they will have the minutes that they deserve. And I think the Reyes situation is an important one because with Reyes, we saw him as a starter against Ivory Coast. But, I mean, he's not having the competitive minutes. I mean, first division minutes. He's playing the Porto B team. And I don't know if that will benefit or not benefit the national team when it comes to the big games in September.
Yeah, I think it's. I don't think it's good. You know, I think the at least hoping that both of them would be on the bench and, you know, coming on, picking up minutes. I mean, I think that, you know, you go into this national team game now, and, you know, that all the call was for, you know, Reyes to become like a really fundamental part now of the Mexican defence, and, you know, and take over Massa Rodriguez's place. But I mean, it's difficult to, you know, to validate the argument when he's not, you know, playing any first team minutes. I mean, okay, it goes back to the same thing I was saying about Ochoa and Corona and Ajaccio. I mean, Porto B's, you know, where does that compare to Mexican League? I mean, for me, that's below the Mexican League, you know what I mean? I don't know. I just don't think it's clearly not ideal that these players are in that situation.
Yeah, especially when you look at the role they have on the team. I mean, right now Reyes, we see him as a starter, and you want him to have the competitive minutes. But it's also worth noting that in the team that he is currently part of, I mean, there are players there that have more minutes in playing European top level European games in Champions League and then also in the Portuguese league. I mean, at least in how I see it, Tom, at least Herrera and Reyes are playing, not like Jonathan Dos Santos, who is not even on the bench for Barcelona. He, you know, it was a tricky decision that he made. You know, because at this point, if Jonathan Dos Santos would have accepted Real Sociedad's offer, he would at least had already completed one 90-minute game with Real Sociedad. And right now with Barcelona, he hasn't even stepped onto the pitch.
No, and he's not in the squad for the
Supercopa final.
Yeah, I mean, he's just not in the squad. He's just not going to play. So you can tell even that the last couple of games. I think in the last Supercopa, the first leg, I think it was Song who came on, if I'm not wrong.
Song came on.
So, I mean, it just tells you something about the hierarchy there at Barcelona that, you know, he's not, even this early in the season, he's not wanted to put Jonathan Dos Santos on. I mean, it's a real shame, you know what I mean? He's just sat there, 23-year-old, just sat on the bench when he could have been playing, you know, in the Champions League. I mean,
yeah,
I don't
know. Last season it was the deal with Sevilla FC. And this season is Real Sociedad, who's playing a Champions League. It's basically in the Champions League tomorrow. Carlos Vela will try to secure that with his La Real Sociedad. And I mean, other rumors floating in Mexico before we leave the show. I mean, for Forlán to Monterrey, that's one that has been sounding a lot today.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto FC, you know, that's been mentioned quite a lot as a possible destination. But, you know, this latest rumour, I mean, there's some journalists that, you know, pretty well-recognised journalists up there in Monterrey who were saying that, you know, this might not be too far off, and that, you know, when you think about it, I don't know, like, you think about someone like Forlán going to the MLS in a World Cup year, I mean, is that ideal, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know, I mean, I really, especially with the way their league's structured and stuff like that, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he had his doubts, whereas Mexico, he's going to obviously get paid a lot of money. I mean, I think it sounds genuine in terms of it's possible because Monterrey do have the money. They've just sold Barbón for 10 million, Corona for 5 million, so the money's in the bank there. Monterrey, we've talked about it in this show, they need a lift at this minute. So, you know, it does make sense from the Monterrey point of view, alongside Suazo, you know. And possibly from Forlán's point of view at this point, but we'll have to wait and see.
I think, and also if we go a little bit more, you know, to the personal side, Nejirio Arevalo, you know, he's always on the call ups for the Uruguayan national team, and right now he's actually playing for Chicago Fire in MLS. You know, so he might consider moving to a Mexican club once MLS finishes. He's on loan for Chicago Fire with a buyout clause, possibly. But Ejiro Arevalo, his wife is from Monterrey. So I think if Forlán wants to go to Monterrey, he has a perfect person in Ejiro Arevalo to ask how's the lifestyle there, you know, what goes on in Monterrey. And I think Monterrey is the type of team that has the money to make that kind of bang in the Liga Bancomer MX. I mean, it's they're about to build the stadium, like you said. You know, they got this coach, Profe Cruz, who, as Johnny mentioned a while ago, is this coach that did well with Atlanta and now has the biggest chance probably in his career to shine to shine and coach well this Monterrey side. And also, you know, Profe Cruz is La Volpe student. So it's kind of funny that, you know, before Bucetich it was La Volpe, and now after Bucetich there's another La Volpe student coming to Monterrey.
Yeah, and also the Club World Cup. I mean, you know.
Yeah, again.
Big stage for Forlan to go and hopefully, you know, but it'll be Bayern Munich, wouldn't it? Or who's the Copa Libertadores champion at the minute?
Who won it?
It's Atlético Mineiro.
Atlético Mineiro with Ronaldinho.
Yeah, so, you know, it's could be interesting. What else? I mean, Jefferson Montero, I still think he's going to go, you know what I mean? I just think as this European transfer window is closing, I think Morelia might be holding out. You know, I think Cardiff and Swansea are the teams that have been mentioned in the Premier League. I really hope he does stay though, because you know, I think he's possibly the best player at the minute in the whole league, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean the minutes that he's added. I mean, it's an interesting moment for Montero, because when he was in Europe with Real Betis, I mean, I think his best moment in Europe was with Real Betis in Spain. I mean, Betis did not have the money to pay his class, so he ended up coming to Morelia. You know, the World Cup is coming by. I mean, he wants to have minutes, and also he has to think about the adaptation sort of thing that will occur if he does go to Cardiff.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I think he'd do well this time as well. Well, I think he'd do well in the Premier League. I really think he's a quality player. Giovanni Dos Santos came off at half time for Villarreal. Any news about how he?
Well, Giovanni scored a goal, important goal for Villarreal this weekend, a penalty kick. And he came out with an injury. I mean, what I've read so far is that it was a preventive sort of issue that was decided between Giovanni and Marcelino Garcia Toral, the coach. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think it's that serious, but there hasn't been a press release from the club or any other media outlet in Spain that has come out and straightforward said, you know, how serious the injury could be or if there's no injury at all with Giovanni. But by the looks of it, it was just preventive.
Good stuff. And yeah, I mean, the other last thing just to wrap it up is Pumas in America might be postponed due to teachers, not a strike, kind of demonstrations going on in Mexico City.
They've been all over the Mexico City. I mean, last week I heard they were around the airport. Now I'm hearing they're in this section. So, I mean, they're all over. The teachers are all over Mexico City.
And the president, Peña Nieto, is supposed to do his first annual kind of report on basically a state of the nation, is it? I don't know, in the U.S.?
State of the Union.
State of the Union, yeah. After 1 year, so the teachers are planning to kind of cause some bit of sensation with all that. So that it looks like the Pumas America game may well be postponed, which will be a bit of a shame.
Yeah, we will see what happens, and it's a tight situation for America, because if we think about it, they've only played 5 games out of the 7 games that most of the Liga MX clubs have at the moment, and now they will add another one. Just to remind our audience, next week we'll have the special edition on before the game against Honduras, and to make sure to follow us on Twitter at Mex Soccer Show, and also at our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/Mex Soccer Show. Correct, Tom?
That's right, and that's where we'll be posting articles when we write them, and keeping it flowing.
No, definitely. And I mean, we will see what happens Thursday. It's an important day. We will see what names appear in that call up for Chepo. It's important 2 games, you know, and it didn't start so well by the looks of it.
Yeah, definitely. So,
definitely, Tom. We thank Johnny, who had a little bit of technical issues in Tijuana, but he was with us. A shout out to Eric Gomez And thanks to the audience. Have an excellent week.